The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, thank you, Jeff Dickerson. Thank you to all of our callers. We'll get a bunch more of you in tomorrow. Thank you, Danny, Jeff, Hoodie and I back 7 a.m. tomorrow. Crosstalk brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Summer Harness Racing is heading down the home stretch at Hawthorne with betting action every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night under the lights. I got to read you guys a quick stat from our friend Kevin Fishbane at The Athletic. In his 166th career start at 21st against the Bears, Matthew Stafford hit career-high marks in passer rating, 156.6. Yards per attempt, 12.35. And no player with at least 20 pass attempts against the Bears has ever had a better passer rating than Stafford since at least 1950. And that includes Aaron Rodgers. And his 12.35 yards per attempt ranks second in a game against the Bears since 1970.
So not good is what you're saying.
Carm and Yurko, pop, 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 pop. What's up, fellas?
Yeah, not congratulations good. To the Rams.
Congrats is right.
How about that, Yurk? Loss yesterday. Anything surprise you yesterday?
Unfortunately, I didn't think that the effort was there. I thought there was energy early. Then when the interception happened, it looked like all the wind came out of the sails and it was done. They were like Tommy Boy, sitting out on the lake with no wind and you're not
moving.
Jeez,
you need
anywhere.
Some wind.
Yeah, we need some wind, exactly.
Thanks,
somebody
Dad.
Break wind. Hey, if somebody would have broke one, wind, I'd have been happy. It just, right there, it all left. It all went out. You know what the crazy thing was? The Bears had 8 possessions. The Rams had 9 possessions. They ended the half with a possession the Rams did, and they ended the game. So they had 7 real possessions during the game. They scored on 6 of them.
Yeah, they kneeled on 2 of their possessions.
Yes. Right.
They kneeled at the end of the half, and they kneeled at the end of the game.
The Bears controlled the ball for 35 minutes. Now, that's confusing activity with accomplishment.
Right.
A lot of activity, a lot of time of possession, but nothing accomplished whatsoever, and that's the thing. I think that's what you can say about a Matt Nagy offense, little accomplishment. A lot of things happening, a lot of people moving, but nothing happens in regards of touchdowns.
The Bears are playing the four corners offense in the third quarter.
Yes.
It's holding the ball.
Right.
Just
yeah,
hold
just
the ball.
Hold it. Try to keep it away from it. Didn't
even
matter.
Though, even though they didn't have the lead. Okay. Don't really do that with a lead.
So here's the question I asked Hoodie. Can you tell me what Andy Dalton does that Justin Fields can't do now?
Listen. Nobody can sit here and tell you anything except for the fact that he's got double-digit years of experience over Justin Fields. That's the only argument that can be made, period. He's got more experience over Justin Fields. But this is something that was talked about the minute they went to training camp and hoping that Justin Fields would take the job. He's a more dynamic quarterback, period. There's nothing else that can be said about it. And if you can't read the tea leaves and you can't read your room and you don't understand who the players want as their quarterback, then that's part of the problem also. That's part of your problem, is not understanding what these players want. These players want Justin Fields to lead them on the field. Period. Doesn't make a difference what Andy Dalton has done or hasn't done. Nobody cares what Andy Dalton has done or not done. Okay, this is all about getting Justin Fields up there, leading this group of players. This group of players wants to be led by Justin Fields, period. Now, they're up. They went into a buzzsaw. Okay, Matt Stafford's much better than Jared Goff. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
And Stafford went in there, and he runs that offense the way it needs to be run. Not that they weren't helped by the defensive secondary of the Bears or the lack of pass rush by the defensive line. So, I mean, the lack of pass rush is going to expose defensive backs. I don't know what Eddie Jackson is doing.
I don't either. What's happening?
I don't know what number 23 is doing on that defense. I don't even want to call him by his name.
That's Marquis Christian.
I'm going to call him Croder because he doesn't deserve a name until he gets something done out there.
Croder.
Yeah. If you remember that from the Budweiser commercial, that was the guy's name that is trying to make the team.
Yeah.
And finally the coach called him by his name, Croder. So good for that kid.
That's
but
good.
The point is, what the hell's going on back there? I mean, Sean Desai was supposed to be the pupil, right? The pupil of Vince Fangio.
Well, he wasn't supposed to be. He is. That doesn't mean he's going to be good, and it doesn't mean he's got the tools to be good.
Yeah. I mean, this right now is a mishmash. The only thing that can save it really is Fields coming in there and being the one bright spot. This team is going to battle its way all year trying to finish 8-9, 9-8. This is what you have.
Oh, boy.
You've got a team that's going to battle. You went up against the number one scoring defense and the number one yards, total yards against defense yesterday. You were in tough against that team. Okay, now if you're going to make wholesale judgments on the Chicago Bears based on just one game, I think you're fooling yourself a little bit.
That was a bad matchup for them. I agree with Yerk on that. I was hoping for a better effort.
But it was not to happen.
I don't think anything was surprising.
41-yard run. I'm like, here we are. They're going to take a lead, 7-0. Let's get some energy into this thing. You're on the road. And then the deflected ball goes right into the hands of a defensive back, and then it's over. Then I look at the spray chart. I call it the spray chart, but it's the pass chart where you look at where the balls went, and you look at them dotted across the field. You know there were three quarterbacks that had over 12 yards per attempt yesterday?
Yeah.
Three quarterbacks. Jameis Winston,
yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo, and there might be even more. They're just the three I know about, and Matt Stafford.
All had over 12 yards in attempt?
All had over 12 yards per attempt. And you look at the Bears, and what do they have? 5.3 yards per attempt.
That's not about right.
You look at Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is a wide receiver in the NFL. And look at what his average is. He's averaging 5.4 yards a reception. He's a wide receiver in this league.
Everything's underneath your
that's like,
everything.
That's like Jamal Charles rushing the ball.
It's a joke. So everybody who tells me that this is the problem, that's the problem, and this is the problem, this guy calls plays a certain way. Now he's got the ultra-conservative quarterback. This guy is the Larry Elder of quarterbacks.
Okay? Oh, God.
He will simply go everything. Whoa. Everything is as conservative as you possibly can go. Did you like that one, Johnny?
Wow, I like that. Good. That was good.
It's topical. It's very timely.
He has taken my place.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, the point is, you got a conservative play caller now with a conservative quarterback in there. And guess what your offense looks like? It looks very conservative. It's not exciting. It's not thrilling. There's no resemblance whatsoever to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're down. What do they do? Let's go long.
And Merkin and I
were just saying,
like, stop with the KC stuff.
That's the point. We're telling you it's not KC.
There is not a deficit. And, like, look, the Super Bowl happened. I mean, he was on one foot and they had no offensive line. But, like, there really is no deficit where you ever feel like they're not capable of coming back. Doesn't exist. Like, they could be down 14 with 6 minutes to play, and you'd fully expect the Chiefs
to come back and win. Oh, wait a minute. There's a penalty. We're going for two. We're going to go for it on fourth.
Of course.
Fourth down again. Let's go for it again. Because field goals aren't winning that game.
Right. If their crappy punter can hold on to a punt, they give themselves a chance. Who's been sitting on the sidelines all day, can't catch the damn ball.
Poor guy.
I love the excuses, though. The excuse in the broadcast was he's been sitting there for 3 hours, and he's cold.
He's cold.
He can't catch the football.
I guess.
You got one job, pal.
Yeah, you got one job. Catch it and punt it, and he couldn't do that. And
3 hours cold.
You give them a short field after just having the quick strike to give them a short field like that, forget about it. I mean, Mahomes is like, here we go.
The Bears went down 7-0, and you knew the game was over. You knew the game was over. I knew the game was over. They're not going to do anything here. And if they're forced to pass, it's a matter of time before number 99 creates chaos. And creates chaos, everybody else benefits by playing with number 99, Aaron Donald. That's it.
How about the question about adjustments? And here's what Matt said about his defensive coordinator.
Sean was great on the headset, very calm.
He was great on the headset. What does that mean?
I don't know. I thought that was like an adult film reference.
Yeah.
Is that an adult film reference?
I don't think so.
He's great on that headset. Yes. Thank you, Ron Jeremy.
And also good on the boom mic.
Yeah. I don't know that the adjustments are there to be made when you just don't have, like I said, if you don't have the horses to do it.
Well, and if you have brain farts, right?
Yeah.
Just brain fart.
Whatever has happened to Eddie Jackson, I mean, it could be... Injury has happened, Eddie Jackson, and he's just not going to tackle anymore.
Could be complacency, guys.
It could be.
Could be.
It could be a combination of both.
You're making money that's going to change you, but, I mean, don't you want to leave a legacy? Jamal Adams is leaving a legacy in this league.
I think it's got more. I don't want to make excuses for the guy, but I've got to imagine that he's just scared to tackle because of his shoulder.
He's beat up.
That's what I'm guessing. Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. I can't explain Khalil Mack. I wish I could. I can't.
Robert Quinn is being replaced.
Well, please,
number 50 is in there all the time now.
Yeah.
So Robert Quinn is being replaced. Robert Quinn,
he at least
said
had
he had
a half sack.
He did have a half a sack.
He actually was the guy that got there first.
Yeah.
And they couldn't bring him down, so they gave the other guy a half, too.
I know the ball gets out quickly, but I just don't like the lack of hurries and lack of sacks.
No.
Just putting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
I just don't like, because, again, look at the football team. What are the positives of the team? You run the football well. And your defensive line is also supposed to be one of the positives of the team, and it is not.
Well, here's the thing, though. They've got to make mistakes for you to be able to be successful. For the Bears to be successful on that 41-yard run, 69 got reached by Mfetty yesterday. Like, he was in a three technique. He got reached. He tried to spin out. So that mistake made by the Rams, the Bears see it. They capitalize. It turns into a 41-yard run. But it's incumbent upon the other team to make mistakes and you to be able to capitalize. The Bears can't instill their will on anyone because nobody knows what their offensive will is. I don't know. What is it? The micro short passing game?
Yeah, good luck.
You know, the Kevin Hart passing game, I call it. Ultra short, ultra small. But funny. Could
How
be
about
funny.
The Tom Cruise? Let's go
Tragically
with Tom Cruise.
Funny, the Kevin Hart offense that the Bears are running
he's even
right
shorter.
Now.
Shorter.
I have a question. How can you be in salary cap hell? They have like the top five least amount of cap space and run that crap roster out there.
How? You've had a bad general manager.
That's my point. Ryan
you're
has
Tariq Cohen not to be on the bench.
I mean, really?
But you're paying a running back money for why? Why are you paying running backs money? If anything's been proven over the course of time, they're replaceable.
What are you
interchangeable
paying,
parts.
What are you paying Nick Foles to stand with the headset and not even be active? What are you paying Tariq Cohen to be on the bench right now? Eddie Jackson, Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn.
Right.
That's how. They have to, and they're not good enough.
He's done a terrible job.
Of course he has. We've been saying that forever. And they're not good enough at trimming the fat and replacing it. You know, like, Waddle and Sylvia are more upset than we are about the fact that they let Fuller go. You let Fuller go. Good organizations don't bat an eye. He is not a special football player. Is he good? Fine. He's good. Was he good on the Bears? Yes, he was.
He was great 1 year.
He's not special.
Right.
And
right.
So what do you do if you're a good organization? You trim the fat and you replace it with younger, cheap talent.
That's correct.
He can't do that.
Right.
That's
correct. Like what the Saints do.
Exactly. What every good franchise does. Right. Exactly.
The Saints had an opening at corner. We'll go get one, and we're going to sign Marshawn Lattimore and get him locked in.
Find your young, replaceable talent.
The Bears tried to lock in somebody that was good, Eddie Jackson. The problem is that he only performed tremendous 1 year. Fuller performed for 1 year. All these guys have performed for 1 year, and they haven't been able to replicate those years.
Now, wait. Now, don't forget, now, Sunday, look out now. Bengals really showed some resolve there winning that ball game in overtime.
Bengals bring some firepower here.
Careful.
I mean, they do, honestly.
Well, like, I mean, Joe Burrow was the best quarterback coming out in his draft.
It was the best college season ever.
Yeah,
you lose this
just
game.
Because you get hurt doesn't take away from the fact that you still have that talent.
Mm-hmm.
And Ja'Marr Chase, who couldn't catch a cold in the preseason.
Looked pretty good yesterday.
Found a way to get it done when the lights are on and it's Broadway. He found a way to get it done.
You've got talent. Mixing in 100 yards.
You lose next week. You're guaranteed to be 0-3. You are not winning in Cleveland.
I don't think they'll win in Cleveland.
No, they will not.
It's a tough one.
And
Cleveland,
then you get the Lions.
You get the Lions.
Careful now, the Lions. Careful.
That's, right.
They
I told
themselves
you.
Out of a
I'm
hole.
Telling you guys, that SOB up there is just crazy enough to get them to play hard.
Campbell.
I mean,
right.
I'm telling you. Like, he is just.
No
I asked Yurko again on Friday. I said, Yurk, should we bet over four? Can he get? Is he crazy enough to get them to five wins?
Yeah,
I'm like, is he just
not.
Crazy enough?
Sure.
Like, he's out of his mind.
The 49ers.
Stomping on his side.
The 49ers, they had the game salted away. And then here come the Lions. Like, wow, how did that happen, right?
I mean, like, are you kidding me?
And also a very odd quirk in the schedule for the Bears, right? They don't have two home games.
No, they don't.
And they don't have two road games. It's every other game is home or road.
They don't have
road.
Consecutive home or road games. Yeah.
By the way, in the preseason, do you remember all the love you had for Alec Ogletree?
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Oh, this guy's intercepting the ball.
Yeah.
Seven interceptions in a practice
from Andy
for
Dalton.
Alec Ogletree.
Come on, really.
You come crashing down to earth every once in a while when you're playing in the regular season, and all of a sudden Alec Ogletree starts doing silly things out there.
Right. Penal,
I didn't see him near
foul.
A football. Anybody see him near a football?
No. I saw him get a personal foul penalty.
Okay, he is who we thought he was. Alec Ogletree. He's a serviceable linebacker that can come in and provide linebacker depth for you when necessary.
Yeah, you don't hear me pound a drum for my Georgia guy, Ogletree.
Right. No. I mean, he's a professional is what he is. He's a guy that can come in there and help pick up a defense quickly, come in, provide some athleticism, provide a little bit of grit for you, and every once in a while put his hand on the ball and maybe come down with an interception, which is great. That's nothing wrong with it. At a decent salary, you know, something that's controllable by the club, he could be a very productive player for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But Alec Ogletree is not Junior Seau running around the field.
No. No, he's not.
God, the preseason, everybody started anointing him up to the top. I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Slow down, guys. Ooh.
All right, Yerk.
Not good.
Kick us out, Yerk.
All right, boys, time to go. We've got 2 hours to lament this thing, so.
Yes, we'll take them to task as we need
we
to.
We suck again.
Yes, boys. Yep. Get used
to
it.
Well, you guys are very negative. I'm a little more positive.
All right.
Yeah, you're positive we suck again.
wait a minute.
That was funny.
Have a great day.
All right, see you, boys.
Carmen and Yerko are next. Greeny at noon, Waddle, Sylvia 2, Black and Abdallah at 6. Have a great day. Hoodie, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
See you.
Sean was great on the headset, very calm.
Hey, guys, it's Carmen. You know I love Nissans. I got the Altima now. It suits me quite well. I've had Maximus, had Muranos. Thinking about a Rogue next. We'll see, though. Content with my Altima for now. I like it. Whatever you need, whatever you're looking for in a car, a pickup truck, an electric car, Nissan's got something for you. So you got to check out the full lineup today. Trust me, you're not going to be disappointed. You deserve a car that thrills. I tell you that all the time. If you're sitting in traffic right now, maybe it's miserable. Believe me, it's been miserable lately. Bumper to bumper. And you're like, man, I just don't like this car. You should feel good in it. So get into a Nissan. Check out the next-gen Pathfinder with intelligent all-wheel drive. Do a little off-roading in that bad boy. You got heavy loads to tow? How about a new Frontier? Or check out a Nissan Titan. That gets you where you need to go. Trust me, you're going to love it. Check out the full lineup of all the Nissan cars, trucks, and SUVs today. Visit NissanUSA.com.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Monday. All one game left in week one. The Monday nighter tonight in Las Vegas between the Ravens and the Raiders. So great to have football back. Disappointing Bears game. I can't say I'm shocked or stunned by anything that really happened. I think it followed a pattern that most of us expected. Not a good week one matchup for the Bears. Having to go to LA where Sean McVay and his teams normally come out smoking hot. He is now 5-0 in season openers. 5-0 straight up against the spread, and his offenses average about 33 points per game. And that's exactly what we saw yesterday against a young Bears secondary with a first-time defensive coordinator calling the plays. Kind of felt like a recipe for disaster. Oh, and Andy Dalton's the quarterback. And that's kind of the way it played out. But Carmen and Yurko are here for you to talk all things Bears and NFL. And boy, do we have a lot to cover as we discuss week one. Good kid, as always, you can ring us up at 312-332-3776. The number again, 312-332-ESPN. We want to take lots of calls on this Bears Monday. Hit us up on Twitter, at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J and the number 64. I know you had a minor vibe on the game, Bears money line. And like you said, when David Montgomery rumbled down the right sideline for 41 yards, you had to feel pretty good.
Confidence was high in the Yurkovich camp. I'm going to be honest with you. Sitting there watching that, and I'm like, look at this. Nice return, special teams contribution. Here we go. And Fetty gets his head in front of 69. 69 tries to spin out. All of a sudden, there's a chasm in the middle. And look, Montgomery actually looks like he's got some moves going on. Good, good. Motivated in the offseason. Look at this. Everything's good. And then it came time to get the ball into the end zone, in the red zone. Mm. What's this team been known for over the course of years? Red zone troubles, right? Trouble in the red zone. What are we going to do once you get down into the red zone? You bring Fields in. Did Fields come in on that first one and complete a pass, or did they wait for the second one?
Fields completed a pass when they were down near the goal line. He did.
Yeah. And then you come back, and then all of a sudden, there he is, Andy Dalton with a football in his hand, and he's going to go in a direction that just right off the hands of a linebacker or a safety that's sitting there, goes up into the air and down into the hands of a defensive back.
So. Can I ask a question about that, too? I don't know if you – I tweeted this, I think, last night, or I know I tweeted a picture of the Komet on the fourth down, how wide open Komet was.
And
yeah, but he's still only 1 yard across the line of scrimmage with defenders breaking up on him once they commit to the ball.
Yeah.
So as open as he was, yeah, I thought Allen Robinson, that's the one where he wasn't interfered on.
Yes, that's correct, Yerk. He was a little short.
He wasn't. The ball was a little bit behind, but I still thought it was a ball that could have, you know, the Allen Robinson, Pro Bowler, top 10 receiver, the whole world keeps telling me. I thought that was one he should have been able to come down with. So, you go to direction, you're going to make a throw, it's got to be pinpoint, it's got to be accurate, and your guy's got to come down with the catch. That's it. Cole Kmet after the catch to me, I'm still waiting for him to be able to turn and then hold on to the ball. Every time he catches the ball and turns, I'm like, this guy's either going to drop it or he's going to fumble it. So still waiting for him to prove over the course of time, over 20 catches, that he can catch, he can turn, he can run, he can be productive. So
if you look at the still frame, the end zone camera, I know the ball was tipped. I'm not sure where Andy Dalton was going with the ball anyway, if you look at the tape. But
looking at the ball in the that went to the end zone.
Yeah, the one, the tip, 41, the interception.
So it was going to the second receiver, not the outside receiver. It was going to the second receiver.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the plan was, Carr. Okay. Whether it was going to be in the vicinity or not in the vicinity is a different aspect. I mean, but it was not the outside, but the second receiver. And it just looked like those guys were all ready to come off the receivers and go someplace else. You know, once he locks in on a target, they were ready to fly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why that guy was in a position to make the play on the tip ball. He had departed. Once he saw the ball leave the hands,
he had departed.
He knew it wasn't going to his guy, so he's coming back to help. That put him in a position to go ahead and intercept the ball.
You know, week one, we always joke, like, it is the Monday after, the whole week after, it is like a great overreaction week. We're going to see it in some of the lines. You know, there's always a good money-making opportunity in week two because of how the public sort of views certain teams and things, and Vegas tries to accommodate itself accordingly. And boy, did Vegas enjoy the weekend, Yurko. Because, you know, most people play favorites. Most people, play the popular
chalk.
Teams.
Everybody likes the chalk.
Most people play the chalk. Do you know what the chalk did this weekend? You know what the favorites are against the spread, Yurko, through 15 games?
15 games. The favorites against the spread, I'm thinking, is 5-10.
4-11. The favorites are 4-11 so far. And this normally happens. The dogs kind of bark early in the NFL season. Favorites are 4-11 going into tonight. 8 dogs won outright. 8. 6 road teams won outright. We told you last year, for the first time in the history of the league, road teams had a better record than the home teams. But that was also kind of a COVID
year.
Where
do you get your best effort? What did I tell you?
Week 1.
When does everybody think they can win the Super Bowl?
Week 1.
This is what you saw.
And that's why the dogs normally bark. So while week 1 reactions are normally overreactions one way or another, it's not an overreaction to be concerned about Matt Nagy's ability to call this offense, about their ability to score, because now this is 30-plus games of data going all the way back to really the second half of 2018 when the offense started taking steps back after the league kind of figured out Matt Nagy a little and after Trey Burton got hurt. And then all of 2019 and all of last year, we're talking 30-something games where the Bears rank as one of the 5 worst offensive teams in football. And we saw a glimpse of that again yesterday. They do not throw the ball down the field. They do not pressure defenses at all. They are afraid to take chances. Matt Nagy, you figure this one out. David Montgomery, second play of the game, 41 yards, the play we were talking about. First play of the Bears' next series, Monty goes for 14. That's 2 touches, 55 yards. Now, I don't expect David Montgomery to average 27.5 yards per carry. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the next 12 offensive plays the Bears ran, David Montgomery touched it once. If you stretch that out to their next 20 plays, Yurko, he touched it 3 times. Those drives ended in a turnover on downs, a lost fumble, and a punt, and it was 13-0 Rams.
You had to be jumping for joy, Carm, with all the fourth downs that were being gone.
I love it. I love fourth downs. I do. You know me. Fourth
My
and 15.
My most impressive one, yeah, fourth and 15.
Well, listen, you've got to throw beyond the sticks there. You can't throw it 13 yards at fourth and 15.
Again, that's the problem.
Yeah, it is the problem.
That's the problem. You got an offensive coordinator that's what he likes, and then you got a guy that's so safe back there, it's good. That's what he's thinking about. I mean, they're just it's conservative and conservative. And both of those don't add to anything good on a football field. You know, gambling on fourth and 15 and then running something for 11 yards.
That's crazy. Right?
What are you doing?
I don't know. That's crazy.
Four Look, vertical. Chuck the ball down the field. If it gets intercepted, it's like a punt.
I don't think it was a crazy idea because I think Nagy, first of all, I don't think he trusts the defense at all. And I think he knew they were running out of possessions. Like, they didn't just want to make it a 10-point game. I think he wanted to score there. But you can't then throw it to a guy running an 11 or 12-yard out.
Is that, right. is that on the wide receiver, Yerk, or is that on the scheme?
What do you mean on the wide receiver? The wide receiver is running the route that's being asked for.
But why would you not run your route past the sticks?
Because the route calls for a specific depth. If he's got to go past the sticks, then the coordinator's the one that's got to call that.
There you go.
Not the receiver can't independently decide where he's going to run.
There you go, Merk.
Doesn't work that way. If you want it, the routes have depth, right?
Run four verts.
Why are you not running four verticals? You're guaranteed everybody is past the stick there.
I mean, to see that happen like that, and again, like while people were lamenting the decision, I kind of get it. I think he knew he was running out of possessions, and he was afraid they wouldn't be able to get a stop, and they couldn't. But then
they only had eight possessions in the game. You think I'm full of crap? Go check.
I know you're not full of crap.
Eight possessions. The Rams had nine possessions. They knelt down in the first. They knelt down in the second.
In the second. You're right.
Of those seven, they scored on six.
Let's take some phone calls when we come back. Your thoughts on week one. Did it kind of go as you'd expected? And what do you see or expect for this Bears team going forward? They have a more winnable game at home against Cincinnati, although I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. You're going to be there? Nice.
Yeah.
See Joe Burrow. That'll be fun. They had a nice win yesterday. They blew it, but then they won in overtime. They had an aggressive fourth down call in overtime that got them the win. 312-332-3776. We got lots to dissect, lots to pour over, some Matt Nagy sound to play, and we'll take your phone calls on a Bears Monday. We'll be right back.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Empty here. Dalton protected well, fires, tipped, and it's going to be picked off in the end zone. David Long Jr. comes down with it. Rolling left after the fake. He's going to air it out. Deep downfield. Has a man open. It's caught at the 15-yard line by Van Jefferson. And he gets up and rumbles to the end zone. Matthew Stafford with a bomb. He's got the great arm. We know that. And then Jefferson makes the catch, rolls over, doesn't get touched, and takes it in. Walking under pressure. Ball comes out. Is it a fumble or not? It won't matter, really, because it's fourth down.
That's what Stafford does so well.
No huddle here. Stafford, again, is going to air it out. Deep downfield, wide, wide, wide open. A flag is down. That's Cooper Kupp. There's a flag down at the 35-yard line. The Bears already signaling it's against the Rams. Meanwhile, Fields in the game with the play clock is right down to zero. Here goes Fields. Can he get in? Yes, he can. Anderson, and he will get into the end zone. Like I said, maybe at the top, a match made in heaven. We're going to find out. Here's Cooper Kupp. And Kupp still on his feet, breaking tackles. Kupp in motion, looks toward Kupp, comes back the other way, and that is caught for the touchdown.
Now, Michaels, Chris Collins with NBC last night, the low light. I mean, busted coverage is everywhere. Eddie Jackson and Tayshaun Gibson, those are veterans, not touching a player. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, that's silly.
You're not and touching a player when he's down? I mean,
you know, Carm, we used to have a saying on defense. You've got to communicate with each other. Even if you communicate the wrong defense, if everybody is playing the wrong defense, at least you're playing a defense. It's when you miscommunicate and you're playing two different things, you start to look like fools. When you're playing two defenses, you're playing zero defenses.
And to
if you're
run
playing by, the wrong defense, at least you're playing one of your defenses.
And to run by a guy who's on the ground without touching him is inexcusable. Right. I don't know what was worse.
One of those touchdowns is coming back. The Bears defense.
Yeah, Bears. They thought for sure one of them was coming back. Well, it wasn't, boys. The penalty was on you. I don't know what was worse. That. I mean, that's Pop Warner stuff. Or I guess I shouldn't say that. But I mean, come on. Any NFL player's got to know the rule that, you know, that player can get back up if he's not touched and run, right? They all know
that,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, what's worse, that or Joe Judge throwing a flag on a scoring play? I mean, as Joe Judge, forget about coaching in the league. Have you watched football the last 10 years? If you watched a football game, You hear on every single score, the announcers say scoring plays are automatically reviewed. It is a loss of a timeout if you throw the red flag. And what does Joe Judge do in New York? Throws a flag on a scoring play.
Well, no. He comes from the Belichick tree. They
Good Lord.
They know all the small things. That's why they win games.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with the Eddie Jackson play. If you watch when Van Jefferson falls to the ground at the 15-yard line, Eddie Jackson knows he needs to touch him. His hand is out. He is going to touch him. But he's very lazy and nonchalant about it in the process.
I don't get it.
Which allows Van Jefferson to pop right back up and go into the end zone. Go ahead. Go back and watch it. You'll see Eddie Jackson's hand is out. But he knows that he's gotten beat on the play. And so he's lazy getting over there. And he just kind of walks right past him with his arm out. He's going to touch him, but because he does it so slowly, Van Jefferson pops right back up and goes right into the end zone.
It's terrible.
That in itself is more of an indictment.
What's happened to Eddie?
The worst, listen, that's an effort thing and an awareness thing. The worst is when you're making mistakes and you're all there. You got three guys across the same yard line all looking at each other when there's a guy 20 yards behind you. And then everybody's got their hands out looking at each other. What do you mean? What's going on here, fellas?
I don't know what's happened, Eddie Jackson.
What do you mean, what? Hands are out to the sides going, looking at teammates, trying to lay blame and assess blame everywhere. Come on, guys. That's brutal.
Do you guys agree with this? I think we all knew what Eddie Jackson was. He's a dynamic punt returner who
ball hawking skills.
Yes. When he's either scooping the ball up on the ground, he can make a play in the open field. That is absolutely where he excels. He did so. Was that his second season or was
second
it
second year?
He
right?
played. He played well during his rookie year, and then his second season, he really
18,
had all
he exploded.
Those. He had all those turnovers. He had a couple of touchdowns,
right?
And so,
and he was ball hawking.
Yeah, the problem was he's never been a tackler. He's never really been somebody who wants to make that effort.
Was he this bad?
Well, you know what? Maybe he wasn't this bad, but the truth is, they paid a guy for the turnovers that are hard to repeat.
They are very hard to repeat.
Like, you shouldn't be paying a safety if that's all he can do.
No, I know. They're very hard. We have weeks to pour over all, and we've done it anyway, and we'll continue to do it, pour over all the bad decisions that Ryan Pace has made. I mean, Cap asking, how could they be in such cap hell with the team they have? Well, because they're bad at what they do.
But originally,
that's why. I mean,
they had originally set up all these contracts to be vacated after 21 if they weren't getting it done.
Well,
and the problem was that they kept being in sell hell, and then they started extending and moving money up in some of these deals. But if you had looked at all these contracts, it was after 21 they were going to be able to cut people with as minimal amount of damage as they could.
So maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Is that what you're telling me after this year?
That's what they were looking to do. But if you're looking to do that, then you're blowing up your coaching staff too. Mm. I mean, you're calling you when you pull the plug on this thing, and then everything goes down the drain. That includes Matt Nagy and the rest of this coaching staff.
Sonny's on the north side. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
When you guys made that prediction about Green Bay going to the Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers winning MVP, it made me laugh. Because for one thing, do you think that Aaron Rodgers, of how he hates management, is going to reward them with a Super Bowl?
I think he wants to win.
He's going to take a brand-new State Farm check?
I think he wants to win. We didn't pick Aaron Rodgers to win MVP either. I think Aaron Rodgers wants to win. That was a bad look for them yesterday. I'll give you one stat about that. Do we have the sound of Aaron Rodgers also after the game talking about, Matt LaFleur had said, goes, well, those are his words. By the way, he looked like Steven Seagal with that hair pulled back and that beard,
Well, he looked like something.
I don't feel bad for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at all. The hell with them. I mean, I hope they do implode. Who cares? And I don't care about our prediction.
Yeah, but I don't think you could ever say that a player wouldn't try.
No, I don't think so either. I think he wants to win very badly. I think he wants to stick it to him. I think he wants to win and leave. I'll tell you one quick thing. There was a game last year in his MVP season in which Aaron Rodgers had no touchdowns and two interceptions. They got blown out. It was week 6 against Tampa. The rest of the season, the next 11 games, 35 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, a 127.4 quarterback rating, and the Packers went 9-2 in those 11 games. So he is capable because he is Aaron Rodgers.
And they've got Detroit on Monday night.
And they have Detroit on Monday night, and they're a pretty big favorite.
I'll be at that game.
Well, boy, you got a lot of football next weekend, kid.
Oh, boy. This is what I do.
Let's go to Jason on the south side. What up, Jay?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I think, honestly, that Nagy's play calling is a large part of the issue here. I know you all talked about it. You think about the runs that Montgomery had in the beginning, and then it was mentioned how for the next 20 plays, he touched the ball three times.
Three times, that's right.
And then add on top of that, the Rams' defensive line is pretty good, and the offensive line held them, I won't say in check, but they did a decent job. So why not try to throw the ball over 20 yards at least a couple of times? They talked about Goodwin as a speedster. Mooney, we know he has speed, and Robinson can get open when he needs to, but we don't even throw the ball over 20 yards once. Like, that's crazy.
I don't think that – Jay, 20 yards. I don't know 13. That they threw it more than 10.
Yeah. Well, no, they had the one play for 13.
Well, that's right. They had one for 13.
They tried to go. It was 14, 15. They threw it 13 yards.
Jason, thanks, buddy. Yeah, I mean, for 20 yards, geez. And I think they're still going to play kind of the way the way Brandon Staley played a lot last year, where it's – this is more of the trend of the league. It's a passing league. I mean, you talk about light boxes. The Rams played the entire year last year daring teams to run against them. They didn't care.
Right.
They just said, we're going to play light boxes, and we're going to put a bunch of defensive backs on the field, and we're going to make sure you don't beat us deep down the field and take away the explosive plays that all the offenses are looking for, all except the Bears, I guess. And it's like, go ahead. Well, you know, if you want to run, run. I mean, the Bears should have at least maybe tried that. If you're not going to throw the ball down the field, and they're playing light boxes, and Montgomery's running the ball well, even if you take out the 41-yarder, Yerk, even if you take that out, he still rushed for 4.5 yards a carry on his other 15 carries. It's like, why wouldn't you just go ahead and try to beat him that way then? They're basically telling you, go ahead, run the ball. We don't care.
Because the Rams are banking on you imploding and making a mistake, holding call here or there. Or they'd gamble on Aaron Donald being able to make a TFL and putting you in a 2nd and 12 or a 3rd and something situation. Ultimately, they know they're going to force you to throw the ball.
More of your phone calls are coming up at 312-332-3776. Bears Monday, first week, almost in the books. We've got the Monday Nighter tonight. We could talk about that a little and a lot of other stuff from week one. We got thoughts on a bunch of the games from yesterday. It was great to sit down and watch football all day. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Got to give the Saints all the credit in the world. They came ready to play. Absolutely embarrassed us today. And you can't do that against a well-coached and quality football team. Our guys are going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror. It starts with myself. Obviously, didn't get these guys ready to play ball. And that's what happens when you go out there and play like that against a good football team.
We're coming off a couple of NFC Championship games. And obviously feeling good about the unit that we have on offense. That's what we talk about a lot. So this is a good kick in the you-know-where. Hopefully get us going in the right direction, going back home and playing division opponent next week.
He is Captain Relax. And you know what? You got to give it to the guy. Like, he's normally right. I mean, they've had some real stinkers over the years, and he's like, relax. And then they make the playoffs, and they go to the NFC Championship game. And he wins the MVP, you know? Like, he had a stinker in Tampa last year in week 6. I mean, it wasn't week 1. That was a bad look. I get it. But my guess is Green Bay, unfortunately, is probably still going to be pretty good. But that was a bad look. No doubt about it. Tip of cap to Sean Payton. Everything they had to deal with, being displaced like they are again and all that, that was good for the Saints yesterday.
Yeah, good for the Saints. Good for Sean Payton. Them guys, I think they've done it before, you know, where they can kind of settle things down.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston was tremendously, tremendously efficient at the quarterback position yesterday.
See what he told.
5 touchdowns, 20 attempts?
We had, Yerk, 20 attempts. He completed 14 passes. 5 were for touchdowns, Yerk. And did you see what he told Peter King in Football Morning in America? Peter got on the phone with him afterwards. He was writing this morning, and he said, what was your favorite throw? And he mentioned a ball he threw out of bounds because he was smart enough not to force it.
That was a pickoff in practice.
Right, Yerk.
He was smart enough. He went left, saw it was covered, went back, and then came back left and just dumped it out of bounds.
That shows some maturity on Jameis' part.
Can I give you already my first week
issues? Your overreaction?
No, I had either between.
Have you given Jameis Winston the MVP award, Murph?
No, I do have a lot. I do have an active weight bet on Jameis for MVP. But,
okay, that's good, Murph.
But I started Big Ben over Jameis.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I'm up 2 points. I'm going to lose.
Yes,
and
you are.
I mean, it just I hate fantasy.
You should have asked Meller. He would have told you.
No,
to start
because
Jameis.
Then if he's wrong, I give him grief for it.
You should quit then.
Okay,
I hate fantasy too.
By the way, Carmen, I got to give you credit on the Cole Kmet thing. I just saw an action replay of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the corner gets run off. Either the safety or the linebacker there starts to commit into the middle because he's following Andy Dalton's eyes. So Cole Kmet coming across in that shallow cross was wide open.
Wide open. I mean, I'm telling
you, nothing behind him. My question earlier was there something behind him that would stop him? There was nothing behind him because that guy that was supposed to be responsible for that area was drifting on a 45 into the middle of the field where there already was another individual. So if he could have recognized that play, where's the blitzer coming from, right? Linebacker blitz that would have normally been in coverage. So if the blitzer's coming from, where's your open receiver going to be? I mean, the guy's coming from.
There wasn't a defender within 12 yards of Cole Kmet.
If he could have seen Cole Kmet, Cole Kmet would have had it. And he
first down.
Probably would have stumbled for another 12 to 14 yards if he could have held on to the ball.
I totally agree.
He's got a problem holding on to the football.
A mistake by Andy Dalton. He's a veteran, though. Oh, but he's not going to make a mistake. Well, he made a mistake there, unfortunately. It's so silly that Andy Dalton's the starting quarterback for this team.
Carm, I retweeted the action play of it where you could see it.
I tweeted
it.
It still
doesn't
picture.
Show me anything, but the action of it you see because it pans up the football field.
I love you, Yurko. Yes, go to Yurko's timeline and look at it then, because I put a picture
of Twitter.
At least
I can apologize.
Yes,
you know,
I
saw that, and I said, I got to give you credit right away, because there it is, live action shot of what was going on.
At Yurko64 on Twitter. Make sure you check it out. That was a misread by Andy Dalton. Jose's in Hegwisch. What's up, Jose?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Couple of thoughts of Nagy. So in 18, we had this fabulous defense and pretty much masked his inexperience on coaching and basically being in every part of the team. So when I watch Nagy, it seems like he doesn't know who he is. It says BU on his playbook, but it seems to me when he took a seat back last year and was more of a motivator and a seer of things.
That's where he's
better.
What
did we pay him to do to become this offensive guru, which he wants to do, but he can't?
Well,
I think Pace did the same thing with Trubisky, hire someone inexperienced. He was a one-time starter.
But Jose, if you knew if his strengths, if he could simply coach to his strengths, you'd happily pay him. Do you think the Steelers are happy paying Mike Tomlin all these years? Mike Tomlin doesn't call plays. Never has.
No.
You think the Baltimore Ravens are happy paying John Harbaugh in these years? He doesn't call plays. Never has. If he would coach to his strengths, they'd be happy to pay him. And if you then found the right people to put around you to call the offense and the defense, we'd be having a different conversation. We're going to continue to talk about Bears and Week 1. I've got some other stuff for Yurko. Worried, not worried. Should I be worried? Should I not be worried? Bears and big picture stuff. I'm going to specifically talk about a couple futures bets I have, too, after Week 1. Of course, Week 1, we overreact. And then we got to talk about number 52. That's like the elephant in the room right now, isn't it? We're going to do that when we come back in 2 minutes.